I'm going to pray this third verse. It's a wonderful verse as we take a look at the Word of God. Visit then this soul of ours. Pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Fill us, radiancy divine. Scatter all our unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verse 46. We start a series. It's traditionally in the Christian calendar, the first Sunday in Advent. Four Sundays traditionally precede Christmas. So it's appropriate that we begin a series this morning. Each of the pastors will bring a different aspect of what Jesus said about himself. We don't have to guess why Jesus came. The scriptures are clear. Jesus tells us at least a dozen times different reasons for his coming. And the first one we'll look at is in this 46th verse of John 12. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus is not speaking literally here. He's not claiming to be the sun or to be our physical light. He is not speaking of those dark nights. Have you ever tried to drive in them where it's cloudy and rainy and the moon can't even shine through? And it seems like your headlights get absorbed into the darkness. They don't even know your headlights are on. It's that dark of a night. It's almost like the light's going into a dark hole. Jesus is speaking here figuratively when he says, I have come as a light into the world. He's talking about the moral and spiritual darkness of this world without God. And without hope. The spiritual and moral darkness, our light that is within us. In the scripture we said together in corporate response, it talks about the difference between the night and the day. Those who sleep at night. And we as Christians in this world should not be sleeping. We should be wide awake. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. There's a nightlife that people have. And they do their evil under the cover of darkness. Things that they don't do in the light because they can be seen. And so Jesus uses this contrast of the spiritual and moral light and darkness to talk about a very real spiritual truth. That there's spiritual darkness around us, there's spiritual light around us. There are people that have in their hearts the darkness of their morality and godlessness, and people have the light of God and His truth. So our message this morning begins with the last word of the verse. The last phrase, abide in darkness. It wasn't too long ago where I was speaking to someone who had at once professed the Lord and then went away from the Lord. And coming back in the church and listening to the Word again and having it speak to his heart, he said it was like a light turned on within me. Have you experienced that in the Word of God and in knowing Jesus Christ? That the darkness of our life and the darkness of the world around us can be pierced by the light of God's grace. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, picking up at verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Solomon here presents this contrast very vividly for us. The difference between the moral and spiritual darkness of this world and in our hearts, and the spiritual and moral light. The way of the wicked is darkness. The way of the just is a shining light, following in the path of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, the psalmist says. And so we have here this wonderful contrast, the figurative speaking of light and darkness. Where are we at this point in our life? And we worry about the darkness of a world that seems to want to do away with the light. And then we go to 1 John, the second chapter, and John speaks in similar terms throughout his gospel of light and darkness. He starts out in the first chapter in the sixth verse saying, If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have fellowship with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John starts out this book with this contrast of darkness and light. And then in the second chapter, the 11th verse, he gives us one of these illustrations of what actually is darkness and light. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going because darkness has blinded his eyes. Hatred is one of the darkest things in this world. And when you see all the hatred that's in the world, all the hatred in the news, and we feel and understand even the hatred in our own hearts at times for others, we see that this is darkness. It's darkness. People want to leave that darkness and get in to the light. And in the third chapter, the 10th verse, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so the difference between darkness and light is the difference between God and the devil. It's the difference between what people are manifesting in their life. Not only should we not hate, but he says here, if we do not have a positive love, he who does not love his brother is also not of God, but a child of the devil, and a worker of the deeds done in the night. In A Mighty Fortress, it talks about the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. Yes, the prince of darkness grim. Whenever you see moral and spiritual darkness, there is the prince of darkness grim. It started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve left the light to follow the suggestions of the serpent. And what was one of the first results that happened in the next generation? Cain killed Abel. That is the world of darkness. The world that was so dark with violence that God destroyed it in the age of the flood. And at dark evil has been with us from generation to generation, millennium after millennium, and it is still with us today. I say, well, that's a pretty downer. That's not very positive thinking. Well, you got to understand the bad news before you can understand the good news. And so if we turn now to Isaiah 9:2, we see not only were the nations, the pagans, in darkness, but God's people who had the light of His Word ended up coming into darkness also. We see in the 8th chapter of Isaiah, the 20th verse, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." They had many false prophets. They had many prophets that were leading people into paganism. And Isaiah sets forth this standard for determining whether a prophet is of God or not. Those who do not speak according to the word of God, those who do not speak accurately according to God's word, are not speaking light, they are speaking darkness and death. Discern whatever we say from this pulpit. Whatever anybody says from any pulpit or in any book, with God's word, is it light? Is it in conformity to God's word? Or is it darkness? Not in conformity to God's word. And it was even worse than that, because we see in the 5th chapter, the 20th verse of Isaiah, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." They were taking the darkness and they were calling it light. And they were taking the light and they were calling it darkness. And that is often the reversal that we have today and we hear today. The things in God's Word and the teaching of God's Word are said to be unenlightened from an ignorant time in the past. And we know better today. Evolution made us adulterers. And so it's just common for man to commit adultery. Just live with it. And the Bible says adultery is darkness. It's a part of the dark world. It's a part of what Satan wants to destroy, our marriages, by speaking to us in these terms of evil as if they're light, and they're not, they're darkness. And the same switch that was done in the day of Isaiah among God's people is a switch that is being done today even in those churches that have been traditionally Bible-based, calling darkness light and light darkness. Not only were the pagans in the darkness, but at this point, even God's people were in darkness. But God lights a little candle in the darkness. And in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse, He gives the people hope. See, Isaiah speaks both in a down, negative, everything's bad way, but he also speaks of the hope of the grace and the mercy of God. And we need to keep that balance. We can't always be speaking the downer that we're all horrible sinners and all this stuff because we're saved by grace. But we also can't say that God is love without understanding also that God is just and God is judgment. And the soul that sins shall die. And so God gives hope in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse. He says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Where is this? Who are this people that walk in darkness? Where is this shadow of death? And in the last phrase of verse 9, you get it, in Galilee of the Gentiles. And the Israeli territory of Galilee. You had in Jesus' day both the darkness of works righteousness of the synagogue in Judaism, and you had the darkness of pagans and pagan worship. And at this place where both these darknesses met, God said He would bring a light, a great light, to shine in that dark place. And what is this great light? Verse 6. It is Christmas. It is the incarnation. It is the advent. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Brothers and sisters, we sit at a wonderful place in human history. A place where those who Isaiah spoke to were not sitting. We have seen the coming of this light. And we, as believers, are basking in this light. This is the promise of the Old Testament of the coming of a light. The Son of Righteousness will rise, Malachi says, with healing in His wings. And so the light came. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. The 1st chapter, 4th verse. Interesting. If you want to do an interesting Bible study, look up in your concordance the word light and trace it through the Gospel of John and his letters. It's a wonderful theme. John has many themes like this, but this is just one of the many. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. Jesus' life is our light. He who is the resurrection and life, who came to life from the grave, His life and the life that He gives is the light for us. In Him who is the way and the truth and the light is the light we need in this dark world, is the light we need in our dark hearts. Jesus is that light. And down to the 9th verse, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. I talked to a Buddhist once who said that Buddha taught that religion is like a candle, and all the religions in the world are a candle, And therefore, Christianity is one of many candles. I said, nuh-uh. Jesus is the only candle. He's the only light. That was the true light. There are false lights. He is the true light, which gives light to every man. Those which are called light are not lights at all. They're darkness. They appear to be light. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians 11, 14. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Got to get the right book here. 11, 14. Verse 13, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works. Satan appears as an angel of light. The lies of Satan appear so wondrous. And Eve saw that it was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes. And she did eat, and upon her came the darkness of the world. Satan is a false light and gives false lights. It is only in Jesus that the darkness of this world comes to light. And in the third chapter of John, after speaking that God loved the world and gave His Son and did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, He says in the 17th verse or 18th verse, he who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only two people today. It doesn't matter our race, doesn't matter our finances, doesn't matter our class. Nothing humanly matters. The only thing matters is, are we in one of these two groups? Are we those who believe and are not condemned? Are we those who do not believe and are condemned? If you do not believe, you're condemned already. You're already lost. If you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, mankind breaks down either in darkness or light, either in believing or unbelieving, either in trusting in Christ or not. They're condemned already. And then we see what this condemnation looks like. And this is the condemnation. Now he's going to explain that condemnation he brought up in verse 18. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why don't they want the Ten Commandments plastered anywhere? Because it's light and they don't want to be reminded of their darkness. Why do they take the scriptures out of school and every other place in our society? We use high constitutional principles, but it comes down to this. They don't want the light of God's Word. They want to eliminate it out of every area of life. Men love their darkness and they don't want the light. Because their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. Those who are practicing evil hate Christianity, hate the Word of God, hate those who live righteously. But he who does the truth does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. Just the reading of God's Word just exposes us to our unholiness and darkness. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done by God. Let your light so shine before men that they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let's go to 12:46. In our verse, back to our verse, we're taking a big round trip. Now we return back to this verse. Having seen the darkness, and now having seen the light, we see now what Jesus proclaims with a little bit more understanding than if we had just read the verse without all these other verses. I have come as, and I would prefer the translation, I have come as the light into the world, not a light, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Outside of Jesus, we abide in darkness. Outside of faith in Jesus Christ, our hearts and our minds are darkened by sinful thoughts and rebellion against God. But Jesus is telling us this does not need to be. He came into the world that we should not abide in the darkness any longer. He came as a light into the world that we who believe in Him should put our faith and trust in Him would no longer abide in the darkness, but would abide in light. They talk today of get with the modern world. Now, we need to keep moving forward and progressing. But they don't understand what they're moving into is pre-Christian paganism. The same views, the same philosophies, the same moral behavior that existed in pagan Rome and Greece and Babylon before Christianity came along. We're not going into the light, we're going into the darkness. We're leaving Christ, we're leaving His Word, and even the churches are full of darkness now. And it's interesting how they reverse it, because there's a certain group in the main Presbyterian body that calls themselves More Light Presbyterians. We're More Light Presbyterians. The Holy Spirit has showed us more than those in the Scriptures knew, and their view of sexual behavior was unenlightened. But we are More Light Presbyterians. We got more light. You don't have any more light. You've got the darkness of paganism. The darkness of not having God's Word. To say, I can throw out the Bible as a Christian, and I've got more light now, is to do exactly what they did in the day of Isaiah and call darkness light and light darkness. We must stand against the darkness in our hearts. We must stand against the darkness in this world. We must stand against the darkness that is taking over the churches. Just imagine what this world would be if Jesus Christ had never come. Research back into your families, Scandinavians, Vikings. That was not an enlightened time. How about you from Ireland and Celtic background? You know, they're digging out of the bogs all the time, people that were offered to the gods in sacrifice. How about you Saxons from Germany? And in front of your house right now, you would have the skull of some enemy at your doorpost to show what a wonderful warrior you were. The light of Jesus Christ has come. And we've been privileged to bask in that light and to have that light in our hearts. And now He says, I have come as a light into the world that whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. My question to you today, especially you who have never yet professed Christ to the elders of the church, are you in spiritual and moral darkness? If you are, you do not have to remain in that condition. Jesus came that we not remain in the darkness. That is the reason for evangelism, to send out the light and to send it into this dark world so people seeing the light, touched by God's grace, might come to it. Understanding also those not touched by God's grace are going to flee from it. Jesus came that you and I do not have to remain in darkness, moral and spiritual darkness. If your life and heart are in darkness, then turn to the light. Believe on Jesus. Let Jesus' light shine on you, not just to expose your sins, but to get rid of them and replace them with the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A wonderful psalm on this is found in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, verse 28, For you will light my lamp. Jehovah my God will enlighten my darkness. What a wonderful verse. Memorize it. Make it the theme of your life. Let the light of the Lord in every dark recess and closet and corner of our hearts. God is our lamp. The darkness we have in it, inside, God will enlighten. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the light. Get rid of the darkness. May it be said of you, as Paul says in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, the 13th verse, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love. Delivered us from the power of our darkness. Delivered us from drug addiction. Delivered us from unbridled lust. Delivered us from pride and self-centeredness. Delivered us from materialism. Delivering us. That is what Jesus does if we would but trust in Him and look to Him in faith and ask Him to shed His light upon us. And for those who have professed Christ, may we continue to walk in the light and to do away with the darkness that is within us. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 8. For you were once darkness. I hope that everyone here this morning can say this. I was once blind and unable to see the true God, our morality. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, as Jesus is the light of the world. So we are to walk as children of light. The light of God's truth and the light of Christ's teaching is to be the light that we walk by. Not as we see in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We live differently now in Christ Jesus. May we continually fight to walk in this new life through the power of the Spirit. For you were once darkness. That's all those verses ahead. You want to know what darkness is? There it is. For you were once this, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. Actually, the 5th verse in Isaiah that was read from the 2nd chapter says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Because we know of this kingdom coming, because we know of this time when there will be universal peace, and all nations will come to the Lord. Because of this, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so, Paul in Ephesians doing the same thing. Knowing all these things, let us walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. There we see the light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Or rebuke them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk and circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the passage for believers. This is a passage for those who have come to the Lord. Verses like this ought to be memorized and read by us frequently because it reminds us of the basic battle we're in between light and darkness and where we should be and how we can often go astray from where we should be. Now, one last exhortation. Every time you see a light lit for Christmas, add the meaning that should be there. In the darkness of the winter months, when all is doom and gloom, and the sun sets late and rises late, be reminded by the lights of Christmas that Jesus, our light, has come to bring us out of darkness, the darkness of sin and death. And be reminded, too, that we can be a shining light, each of us here, little lights shining in this dark world, lights of Christ in our words and deeds, so that people might see our light and so glorify our Father who is in heaven, because these deeds are not work righteousness deeds. These are deeds done by the power of the Holy Spirit within. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that we might bask in your light. As many people get depressed in the dark months of the year and go to Florida to pick up their spirits, so, Lord, we pray that each of us today might bask in the sunshine and warmth of your love and grace in Christ Jesus. And we might be filled with your light. And help us to take your light with us as we go this day, that let our light shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan put it out. For those who are still in darkness, for those who have not yet come to Jesus, we pray that this would be the day, O Lord, that they would want to come to the light by your grace and to get rid of the darkness that is within them, and in their corner of the world to be a little light shining forth Jesus in word and deed.